The following is the realization of Her Grace Amrita Dasi.
Nandarani would come up to me suddenly, piping into my ears, asking a question. And if she was satisfied with the answer, she'd run away saying, "Okay, Hari Bol, I'll see you afterwards." My maximum encounters with her were during the Srimad Bhagavatam classes. She'd curiously look around and sometimes come and sit next to me. As usual, she would ask her questions and then smile, assuming her own childlike conclusions after she received her replies. She'd sit very close so as to try and not disturb the others around. She had her childish distractions. She seemed very blissful amongst the devotees, always prancing around happily. She once asked me, "Amrita Mataji, are you allowed to wear tilak on your flights?" So I answered, "Oh well, Nandarani, may not be a normal dark tilak, but I mix up the Gopi Chandan and mostly wear a watery light tilak." "Oh," she exclaimed, and giggled and ran away. Many times I'd be sketching something in my notebook while hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam classes, and Nandarani would suddenly pop up saying, "What are you drawing, Amrita Mataji? Wow, you're such a good artist." She'd say, although most of the time my sketches were half-done doodles. Nandarani was such a joyful, lively and friendly child. Once, I remember she was sitting by my side and teasing Kunjarani, tapping her continuously. Once again, during the Srimad Bhagavatam class, "Shh, Nandarani, stop it." Nandarani continued tapping in her gentle, mischievous way, asking her, "Kunja, will you be reciting this shloka? It's so hard." There were long Sanskrit words in that shloka, and she generally wondered whether Kunja could manage. When Kunja did so, she said, "Wow," and tapped her on the back, giggling and saying, "You never made any mistake. Superb." Although Nandarani was constantly distracted, she was very alert. She was always aware of what was happening around her, and if something intrigued her or caught her attention, she would at once zip up to that area to satiate her childlike curiosity. Vrindavaneshwari Devidasi, her mother, would firmly but lovingly rebuke her when Nandarani would talk during Srimad Bhagavatam classes, saying, "Sit quietly or go outside." She was never offended, but usually always amused about something or the other, and some aspect always seemed to arrest her attention temporarily. She adorned a perfect tilak and always looked very sweet and charming. On festival days, she looked like a gopi from the transcendental realm, Krishna's own Goloka Vrindavan. She loved to decorate the other children on these festive occasions. Last Janmashtami, that's exactly what she did. She brought all the children into my room, which was booked at the temple, and was helping them to dress for the auspicious occasion. While I was getting ready, "Oh," she exclaimed, "Mataji, both you and me are wearing the same color, blue. Amazing, isn't it?" I was extremely amused at her usage of the newfound word amazing, and she said, "Amrita Mataji, what are you laughing about? Tell me, please." And I diverted her attention to something else. She was so friendly that everyone around seemed to know her, saying, "Hare Krishna," or just pat her on the cheek. These are a few encounters I've had with this little Vaishnavi, Nandarani. When she left all of a sudden, it seemed like she was urgently required to be in the spiritual world. It's as if one of her associates suddenly realized, "Oh, where is Nandarani?" And another turned around and said, "Oh, on the earth planet. Bring her quickly." And so it seemed that what was seemingly a tragedy by earthly standards was simply an urgency that had to be fulfilled. There was an unusual phenomenon that occurred as Nandarani's body lay on the porch, ready to depart amidst hundreds of chanting devotees. A celestial-looking young lady dressed very opulently appeared. She walked towards Nandarani, paid her respects, and was suddenly out of sight. I wondered who she was, which temple did she belong to, as she appeared so sweet and peaceful. Moreover, there was no sign of shock on her face on this grave occasion. The vibration she emitted was, "In reality, no one dies, as we are all basically eternal spirit souls."